As readers discovered in Chapter 4 of The Elegant Self, inadequacy has both ontological origins and biological origins. And we're going to spend just a little bit of time working with the biographical dimensions of working with inadequacy. The first step is to familiarize yourself with the history of your inadequacy. The questions that you want to be asking yourself are what stories or what narratives actually make sense to you as you relate to the feelings of being inadequate. And this involves you going back in time. You're going to go back into the history of your life and really begin to unpack the sections, the narratives, the stories that actually revealed the various ways in which you were inadequate, or at least felt as if you were inadequate. Now, as a side note, it's important to know that most people's biographical history of being inadequate is actually rooted in pre-verbal memories, which means that the stories and narratives that you can make sense of can only hold so much. And the ultimate biographical roots probably emerged around the first 3 to 6 to 9 months of life, where you simply don't have language and narrative yet. And this is the pre-verbal memories. But likely, your mother was busy and your father was consumed with something. And I'm talking about just a few minutes. You needed something in that immediacy. And it took them 5, 10 minutes to figure out what it is that you needed, what it was that you wanted. And in the midst of that small gap, you likely felt inadequate. Your needs weren't being met. And it probably was being referenced that there's something is fundamentally wrong about you, or there's something fundamentally wrong about the world that you're in. And these are not more cognitive narratives that you're building at this point, but they're embodied memories that actually have this texture of inadequacy woven into the very fabric of your being. But that's still on the biographical side of things. But your first memories likely emerged around 4 or 5, some or earlier, but that's typically where the more biographical history starts to hold stories. And you want to look closely at what happens in kind of that early childhood moving towards your adolescent self. And there's a tremendous span of experiences, all with plenty of opportunities where you're going to feel inadequate. So you want to go back in time and actually revisit what are the stories that come up and create a narrative that holds all of them together, that makes sense of them. This is called narrative integration. And the greater your narrative integration, the more integrated your nervous system is. And simply by revisiting early experiences that may be very challenging, very difficult, and weaving a story around them that makes sense to you, that explains to you the condition of who you are right now, as well as the conditions with which you grew up in. So those are really important pieces. Once we have the narratives built, we can move to the next step. And the second step is simply normalizing inadequacy. And if we take a look at a few different perspectives on this around normalizing inadequacy, the first is that comparisons give rise to inadequacy, right? So as soon as the mind is able to start comparing this and that, we start to feel inadequate whenever we have less of something else, or somebody else gets a newer thing, or perhaps somebody else is wearing our favorite color and we're not. But these seemingly unimportant things right now could have held tremendous amount of influence and value when you were 7 or 9 years of age. So the role of comparison helps us normalize inadequacy. And whenever we start to compare, we're either on top or we're on bottom, so to speak. But comparisons are part of what the mind does. It's part of what helps us distinguish between this and that, where we want to go, where we don't want to go. And invariably, we will make comparisons where we are actually the one that feels more inadequate. So that's the first piece. The second piece is the immensely challenging dimension of expectations. And in childhood, we're usually immersed in a much more rigorous culture of expectations that we can create on our own, which is a good thing. This is part of what helps us grow in and develop as a child, is to be immersed in expectations that help stretch us, right, in ways that we wouldn't do on our own. But expectations bring about feelings of inadequacy, because to expect something that you can't quite do right now is going to result in some experience of inadequacy, right? But that's a good tension. Now, if expectations are way too high, and they're always too high, then we can get a narrative where we find very entrenched self that is never good enough, right? Likewise, if there's no expectations at all, right? If you're immersed in a culture where you're just not expected to do anything at all, similarly, you're going to actually have an experience of just not being adequate. People don't have any faith in me. People don't have any trust. They just automatically assume that I can't do things. And it results in a similar texture of inadequacy. But the nature of expectations are that you need to grow in particular ways, and you can't quite do it yet, you know. But through practice, through learning, through training, we can actually grow and develop capacities to meet expectations. And so finding the right texture of expectations is really skillful for adults growing children. And oftentimes it's so easy to find an expectation that's just a little bit too high, or perhaps a little bit too low. And whenever that occurs, the expectations that are in place create a sense of inadequacy. The third piece around normalizing is what we'll just call the nature of immaturity, right? And you're always born, every single one of us was born in an immature state, right? Some species are born ready to go. They're just a smaller version of the adult, right? A crocodile is a fully functioning crocodile right out of the gate, right? We are not like that. So we're actually born with tremendous immaturity, right? And it's going to take a good 2.5 decades on average to actually grow into what we would recognize as an adult, as a mature human being. So we are intrinsically tied to a state of immaturity for the first at least 2 decades of life, if not longer. And there's tremendous opportunity to experience the various ways in which we're not quite mature yet. And this always brings up an experience of being inadequate. Now, with regards to the nature of immaturity, the mind is always leading the edge. It's actually the leading edge of development. And the body and your capacity to execute and birth certain behavioral patterns comes second, So the mind is able to grasp possibilities first, and then you gain the ability to actually act or execute these possibilities. And that's a really important point, because when the mind can grasp something, in our more immature understandings of yourself, we'll expect privately, we'll just start to expect that we should be able to do it. And to not be able to do it creates this sense of inadequacy in us. When in actuality, there's always this gap. There's always a gap between what you think you can do and what you can actually do. Because your mind can actually crystallize, can congeal, can start to form possibilities that it's going to take perhaps a decade to actually fill out that perspective and perception into possibility. So this second step involves normalizing. And we can normalize just by noticing how simple and easy it is to compare. And we can notice how tremendously challenging expectations are. And then there's also this very pervasive nature of immaturity. We're actually just born immature. And it's going to take several decades of growth and development for us to mature. And we're all, no human being left out, is in this wake of immaturity for a good two and a half decades until we start to feel like, I'm actually an adequate, competent adult functioning in the world. This leads us to the third step of working with biographical inadequacy. And this involves cultivating engagement. And the important transformation that we're after here is we want to transform the energy of your body and mind from withdrawing to engaging. And the most habituated response to inadequacy is oftentimes to back away and to withdraw. Right? And that gesture of pulling away and distancing yourself from the challenges of life actually freezes our ability to grow and refine and develop those particular aspects. So if I'm feeling inadequate about my ability to kick a soccer ball, for example, and if I withdraw from that, I'll kind of back away and let other people kick and let my friends do it more often than me, and I might hesitantly kind of do it once or twice and then kind of play in the background and let other people do it. And this is the energy of withdrawing from a challenge. And that pulling away and disengaging is actually what keeps me in a less competent and in many ways less adequate way of being in the world. So the important piece is that once we have the narratives, once we normalize the narratives, we want to cultivate engagement. We want to transform your body and mind from habitually drawing away from the various activities, whether it's in relationship or business or sports, whatever the domain, we want to actually shift towards engaging, moving towards the activity that you feel inadequate. Why? Because engagement is what grows you. By consciously engaging with it and practicing with it, no matter what level of competence you have, as long as you keep returning and engaging with it again and again and again, you tend to refine and improve it. When you distance yourself, withdraw yourself from that activity, we tend to freeze our own development, and we stop refining, we stop growing. And in some cases, when we freeze it, when we withdraw, our skills actually start to erode, right? They actually start to get worse, right? To go back to that soccer ball example, like, I might have had some facility of kicking the ball and being fairly accurate with my passes and my shots at the goalie. And as I withdraw, as I stop doing those activities, the next time I return, right? I'm actually going to be less polished, right? I'm not going to be as good of a soccer player if I've withdrawn from the core fundamentals. I'm not engaging with them in a regular way. And this works for all of the skills that we find in sports. It works in all of the skills and facilities that we use in business. And it definitely shows its face in all of the facets in which the way that we stay in relationship with people, from sex to intimacy. So this third step involves actually getting out of the narrative, right? We actually have to kind of drop the narrative and re-engage with the activity in and of itself. So where we feel inadequate, we need to go precisely into those moments in life, into those opportunities in life, into these domains of inadequacy, really, where we can then grow and refine and evolve in new ways.